flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Something that came out of Buffalo just today, their GM, Brandon Bean, did a end of season press conference, and he played the bad officiating card. He brought up the Josh Allen fourth down that was ruled short after review, and he brought up the Xavier Worthy catch where he went up for the ball with Bishop. They both looked like they had joint possession of it. It also looked like the ball was on the ground, and they gave it to Kansas City, and then the Chiefs went in and scored. And he said, for those who haven't seen it, that they've been in contact with the league. The league sent them video. The league tried to explain it, but he still believes that the refs and the replay system blew it on both plays and that his team got partially jobbed in the AFC Championship game. Spence put the quote up on our YouTube page. If you're talking about the fourth down play, I feel like he got that, and I still feel like he got that. Is this sour grapes, Pat, or are the Bills still, do they have a right to still be angry days later?
Sour grapes. I mean, just for me, watching the game, you had opportunities to win that game. Yeah, you know, it came down to the officials having to make a call as far as the fourth and short, or, you know, the PI call late in the game. It, you know, regardless what it was, but you had your opportunities to put this game away, and you didn't. And we all know that it was going to be a dogfight game. It was going to come down to the wire, and we knew that Josh Allen had to be this much better than Patrick Mahomes going into this game, because this was a neck and neck match. Like, this was a dead even match up until the last drive. Kansas City pretty much kicking a field goal to solidify themselves to win that ball game, going up by 3, right? So this was a game that came down to that you wanted to take it out of the officials' hands, and for the most part, you did that. And you just had you at the end of the day, we saw these calls. Yes, it was an incomplete catch Dalton Kincaid. Yes, they were short on the fourth down attempt. It's just like things like that. You just put it in the refs and the referees' hands to pretty much dictate how that play was going, the outcome of that play. So, and going back, like I said, you had opportunities to put this game away, and that you didn't. And we all know how hard it is to put a Kansas City team away. Therefore, they're never really put away. But you had opportunities in this game to solidify drives, to keep the momentum and things like that, and that they weren't able to do. So I feel like this is total sour grapes. Yes, those two calls were close. But at the end of the day, when America is watching like that and they have to go up under the hood and actually dictate a play, they're not going to get that wrong.
If I'm Roger Goodell, whatever the maximum fine is, I'm handing that out for these comments. And yes. Just because it continues to perpetuate the myth in the league's mind that they're helping the Chiefs. They're trying to do whatever they can to get the Chiefs back into the Super Bowl and help them win another Super Bowl. And when a big decision maker and a guy with a lot of power who represents a team that just got beat in the playoffs makes a comment like this and doesn't take the high road, it's going to give fodder for people who really believe that the league has a bias.
Hey man, it just takes you back to the New England days. Like, obviously, there were some things that came out, you know, that they was penalized by the, you know, the Spygate. And no, actually, I don't think they was penalized by the Spygate. I knew that.
Oh yes, they were. Oh yeah, they were
penalized big by time. The Deflategate for sure.
Both yes. of them. The Spygate and Deflategate got hit for. Brady got suspended.
Yeah, so you. Yeah, that exactly. So you go back to when they created a whole rule for the tough rule. Like America thought that the referees was on, you know, New England side.
Correct.
They were just a team that understood how to be successful in moments. That was the only difference between them and the other team. Like Philadelphia Eagles, this is a perfect matchup because 9 times out of 10, like it was going to be, I thought, me and you thought it was going to be Philadelphia and Detroit playing for the NFC Championship. That didn't end up panning out, and we thought that it can go either way. But Philadelphia is right where everybody predicted them to be, right? The Chiefs is pretty much where everybody predicted them to be. Everybody else in their rim was a big question mark. Anybody else behind the Chiefs was a big question mark. Anybody else behind the Philadelphia Eagles was a question mark. So this is going to be a perfect match. But now it's going to come down to is who is going to make the perfect play in the situation that most teams are not successful in. And that's what it's going to come down to is what team is better coached and better prepared for that moment when it occurs.
So the thing that hurts the Chiefs is that the stats from the last few years show that they get a lot more calls at home than they do specifically at Arrowhead in the playoffs. The amount of penalties called on the opponent versus them is way out of whack. It's like 40 something more penalties have been called on opponents. And before we went into this game, it was like it was a comparison of roughing the passer calls on the teams they were playing versus ones called on them and way more for the opponent. I think in the 17 playoff games, or excuse me, I think it was like in the 11 or 12 playoff games at Arrowhead, in every single game, the other team had more penalties called, and in one game it was even. So America sees these things and thinks, okay, this is proof that the NFL wants the Chiefs to win. And you're shaking your head, I know. But when you're watching these games, it feels that way as a fan, man.
It does feel that way. But at the end of the day, it just goes to show you how much better prepared that the Chiefs are, how much they understand certain situations. That it can come down to freaking guys being the first to run out of bounds, like when Houston was when they played the Kansas City Chiefs. It's things like that that amount up and be like, oh, that was a call that they get. No, that's a bonehead mistake.
Right. So I do agree with that. I mean, the play where the fourth down play, they got confused by what Kansas City showed at the line of scrimmage. Allen sent the protection to the wrong side. They didn't have people to pick up the blitz. I mean, the guy, he still made an amazing play. Dude drops a ball. I mean, it wasn't an easy catch, but it's still a catchable ball. That's to your point about the margin of error. The Chiefs mm-hmm. tend to make those plays. The teams they're playing usually don't. Mahomes is perfect when he's trailing in games.
That's what it comes down
to, the playoffs. But I do think the calls that Bean is talking about here, Pat, the sequence of events on how that tush-push play with Allen, the way that it got officiated, I still don't agree with. Okay, so the official that sees the ball, okay, so the ball is on the right side, mm-hmm. if you're watching at home. That official on the far side of the field sees the ball relative to the line to gain. He marks a first down. The official on the opposite side of the field, who Allen has his back turned to, so the ball is not facing him, he marks it short, and they go with that official's call. I don't understand that. Like, no one has explained that properly. They never measure afterwards. How do you not measure that, Pat?
Yeah, I don't know how you don't measure that, but which hash mark that ball, I can't remember which hash mark that ball ended up being on and which official that they ended up taking. Was it on the left hash or the right hash, and which official mark did they take? I know they took the one that was a little bit further that didn't have a clear view of it.
That's what the near side. So the ball was on the far hat, was on the right hash. The official that is on the left hash side of the field mm-hmm. is the one whose call they went with. And he didn't have a view of the ball. He couldn't see the ball from where he was. The other guy had the view of it. That's what I don't get.
Yeah, that is that is questionable for sure. Because they, for the most part, they take the official side that is closest to the action.
He was closer to the ball, and he saw the ball. It was a double whammy, dude.
Yeah, like, I agree with that one. Now, that is just that's just questionable.
And so we've said this on the podcast about the Chiefs all year because they're undefeated in one-score games. If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. You give them any opening, they'll take it. So the refs, in my opinion, get that call wrong. Or it felt wrong only because they didn't, in my opinion, properly go about officiating the play. If the guy with the view of the ball says it's short, it's harder for me to argue it. But they didn't do it that way. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you do that, and then Kansas City goes downfield, they kick a field goal, and Allen's got the ball in his hands late in the game, just like he did in the playoff game against the Chiefs the year before, and he can't make enough plays to win it. And, you know, we're looking at Mahomes as the greatest playoff quarterback other than Brady, and Allen's being looked at as a bridesmaid again, which is fine. And then the play that we're talking about before the half that Bean's talking about, where you have a wide receiver and a safety basically come down with the ball simultaneously. And then, Pat, on replay that you see part of the ball is on the turf.
Yeah.
With nobody's hand underneath it.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Sinking Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Sinking Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, that's incomplete. If you can't really, if no one's established possession of the ball, I wouldn't have given Buffalo an interception, and I wouldn't have given Worthy the catch. To me, it's just a no. In that situation, if they rule incomplete, does either side have a bitch? I don't think either side has a complaint at that point. because they didn't make the call for, they didn't give the Chiefs an advantage and they didn't give the Bills an advantage. They just called it incomplete. I think that's what they should have done on that play. I mean, you've been in situations like that where it's like a 50-50 situation. And if the ball's on the turf too, how do you say anybody clearly caught it?
Because, I mean, you know, at the end of the day now, they have changed the rules so much to where the ball can touch the turf. But then if you have full control of it, that's okay. And we all know where, you know, if both guys, offense and the defender, is going down to the ball, I mean, going down to the ground, we know who they're going to give the advantage to. So in my, you know.
And you're not saying the Chiefs. You're saying the offense in this situation. You're not saying they're
going to be right. Right. So diagnosing that play is now since the Dez Bryant catch, you know, we've seen the ball actually hit the turf before. And, you know, the ref come back and be like, you know, the catcher had, you know, full control of the ball, touched the ground, still in a complete catch. Right. So now in this case, when both guys are going to the ground, we know both guys clearly have possession of the ball. Firm possession of the ball, right? And now they're saying, you already know the advantage is going to go to the offense. So regardless if the ball touched the ground, you know, if the ball touched the ground, if it did or not, they still have firm possession of the football. So therefore, we're going to give that to the offense. And like I said, it just be crazy moments like this all the time that pop up for the Chiefs that a lot of people and a lot of fans don't really know about and understand to where it's just like mind boggling to them. So for me, like I said, diagnosing this play, looking at this play, I'm like, of course they're going to give it to the Chiefs because ever since the Dez Bryant catch in Green Bay, you know, the ground can't cause this. So if the catcher has firm control and the ball still touched the ground, it's still a complete it's a complete catch. So same thing in this scenario. We all know if both guys come down with the ball, regardless if the ball touched the ground or not, who they're going to give the possession to, Pony?
Yeah, I know, but you're probably thinking if you're Bishop on that play, there's no way this guy caught the ball. I mean, that's
no. I'm with you 100%. Like it's no way. But at the end of the day, we know where that rule is going to lean towards to.
Yeah.
Like, we just hate that the Chiefs was in that moment, you know, and this is the biggest right. game of the year, but we know where that rule is going to lean towards to. I mean, it sucks that they always find themselves in a situation to where it's always favorable for them, but it is.
All right, so that's the update on the officiating from the game. There's still people involved that obviously have very hurt feelings, and the Bills are not saying, hey, fans, calm down. It was a fair game. They're only adding fuel to the fire. So that's the aftermath from the AFC Championship game.